We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Honeymoon? What ruined everything before the first night ended? Story 1. We had just arrived at our overwater bungalow in Bora Bora. Literal dream come true. Rose petals on the bed, champagne chilled, ocean glowing beneath us. I went to freshen up while he unpacked. 10 minutes later, I walked out of the bathroom to hear him on a video call with his ex. Not a casual check-in either. He was whispering, "She doesn't suspect a thing," and laughing. I stood there, stunned. When he noticed me, he froze. Then said, "It's not what it looks like." I left the room, called the front desk, booked the earliest boat back to the mainland. I spent our entire honeymoon in a hotel alone. Best sleep I ever had. Story 2. He picked the destination. A remote mountain cabin with no cell service and a composting toilet. I didn't complain. I figured it would be romantic. But the second night, we heard scratching. Loud, consistent. I begged him to check. He waved it off as forest sounds. Turns out, raccoons had broken into the kitchen. When we finally went in, they'd shredded our food, knocked over wine bottles, and made a nest in his suitcase. Still, we cleaned up and tried to salvage the night. That's when he decided to tell me he'd invited his mother to join us halfway through the trip. Not in a nearby cabin. In the same one. I packed my stuff and hiked 2 miles to get a signal. A ranger gave me a lift. I spent the rest of the week in town, visiting museums and eating pastries. Alone, thankfully. Story 3. After the wedding, we flew to Greece. Our hotel room had a view of the sea, and the bed was draped in white curtains like something from a fairy tale. We went for a walk through the town that evening. He was holding my hand, telling me he was so happy he locked it down before his options ran out. I laughed, thinking it was a weird joke. He said, "No, seriously. The apps were a nightmare. You're stable. Reliable. I needed that." I asked, "Wait, that's why you married me?" He said, "Well, yeah. I mean, love too. But mostly relief." I slept on the balcony, listened to the waves, wondered how many women out there were someone's second choice. I left before sunrise. Story 4. He told me he had a surprise planned for our first night. I expected champagne, maybe a massage. What I got was a PowerPoint presentation. He had made slides, literal slides, about our future, budgeting goals, baby name options, a proposed intimacy calendar, even charts. I thought it was a joke. It wasn't. When I said I wasn't in the mood for spreadsheets, he looked disappointed and said, "I thought you'd take our future seriously." I took it seriously enough to realize I'd married a man who thought Google Sheets were foreplay. I went downstairs, drank the entire minibar, and called my sister. She laughed for 30 minutes. I didn't. Story 5. We arrived at the hotel late. Paris, city of romance. I wanted a shower, a kiss, and sleep. Instead, he asked, "Can I tell you something now that we're married?" He confessed he was deep in debt. Over $80,000. Credit cards, personal loans, even borrowed from his best man. He'd hidden it because he didn't want to scare me off. Said it didn't matter now. We were a team. I stared at him, stunned, and said, "You mean I'm the backup plan?" He didn't deny it. I slept in the hotel lobby, using my coat as a blanket. The concierge offered me tea. I almost cried from how kind she was. I spent the rest of that trip exploring alone, and filed for annulment as soon as we landed. Story 6. We landed in Tokyo, checked into a gorgeous ryokan, and I was genuinely buzzing. This was our first time out of the country together. Everything was perfect. We had dinner brought to the room, changed into robes, and I finally let out a deep breath. We made it. Then he asked casually, "So, are you going to tell your parents about the marriage now?" I paused. "What do you mean?" He continued, "I just don't want to feel like a secret. I mean, it's been 12 hours. Surely you've told them by now. We'd eloped. That was the plan. We both agreed to it. But he had decided I should now call them, FaceTime them actually, and announce the marriage during our honeymoon because the drama would make a great memory. I refused. He insisted. We argued for 2 hours. He said I was ashamed of him. I said he was trying to manufacture chaos. By midnight, I was crying in the soaking tub while he practiced his surprise face for the call I never made. We didn't speak the next 2 days, and I still haven't told my parents. Just not because I'm ashamed, because I regret the whole thing. Story 7. On the flight to Costa Rica, he was glowing, laughing, holding my hand, squeezing my thigh like we were teenagers. But once we got off the plane, something changed. He seemed jumpy, kept checking his phone, wouldn't stop glancing over his shoulder. At the resort check-in, I caught a glimpse of a text. Room 403. See you soon. I didn't confront him immediately. I waited. I let him unpack. We went to dinner. I drank 2 margaritas just to stay calm. That night, I fell asleep early, turned off the lights, and waited. At exactly 11:07 p.m., he slipped out of bed, grabbed his phone and key card, and left. I followed him barefoot, heart pounding. Saw him knock on room 403. A man answered, tall, shirtless. They kissed. I stood in the hallway for maybe 15 seconds before I left. Walked until I found an all-night cafe. Sat there until morning. He returned to the room like nothing happened. I didn't say a word. I let the silence break us. Quietly. Permanently. Story 8. We'd been married for about 6 hours. The ceremony was small, intimate, perfect. Our honeymoon suite had flower petals on the bed and a view of the ocean. He turned to me and said, "I can't believe you're mine forever." It felt sweet, until he added, "You're not wearing makeup anymore, right?" I laughed. "No, why?" He looked relieved. "Good. I married you, not some painted-up version. I expect no makeup from now on. Seriously." I blinked. Thought he was joking. He wasn't. I pushed back. He doubled down. Said he didn't sign up for a future of fake lashes and red lipstick. That led to a 3-hour argument about expectations, control, and the fact that I had never agreed to become his plain-faced doll. The honeymoon lasted 4 days. I left on day 2. Found a hostel. Drank wine on the beach with strangers who reminded me who I was before I said I do. Story 9. He was obsessed with this YouTube couple who documented every part of their life. "We could be like them," he said. I thought he meant vlogging someday. Turns out he meant immediately. On our honeymoon in Bali, he brought out the camera. Constantly. At breakfast. On hikes. During massages. Even when I was trying to nap. He'd say, "Babe, just a quick clip," or, "Let's do a reaction to this sunset." I asked for space for a break. He said I was being negative and ruining the content. But the final straw? He live-streamed our first night together. Not the act, but the lead-up. Roses, music, his speech about this moment we've all waited for. Viewers were commenting things like fire and hope she's not on her period. I cried in the bathroom for an hour. He knocked once, then went live again to explain I was just emotional. I booked a separate return flight the next morning. Deleted our wedding photos from Instagram. Let the silence speak louder than any vlog ever could. Story 10. We reached our Airbnb in Barcelona around sunset. It was charming. Brick walls, vintage tiles, and a little balcony overlooking the street. As we unpacked, I reached for his backpack. He snatched it away, said, "Don't touch that." Weird, but okay. Later that night, I was looking for aspirin. I checked the bathroom. Then the kitchen. Finally, I opened that backpack. Inside were 5 burner phones. I froze. Picked one up. Each was labeled with a woman's name. There were photos. Flirty messages. One phone even had a countdown timer app with the title, "Days Till Freedom." I put the phone down, zipped it up, and waited. When he returned from getting snacks, I asked him straight up. His face turned stone. Then he sighed. "I didn't think you'd find out this soon." He said he'd planned to live a double life. Honeymoon, then back to dating under aliases. Thought he could make it work. Like he was proud of it. I left that night. took my passport, blocked him from everything. Still don't know if any of those women knew about each other. Or me. Story 11. We got a flat tire on the way to the resort. Not ideal, but we laughed it off. What's a road trip without some bumps? We pulled off onto a quiet stretch near a gas station. While he changed the tire, I went to grab us water. When I came back, he was arguing with someone. A random guy in a leather jacket yelling, "You think you can disappear and I wouldn't notice?" I froze. My husband tried to wave me away. Turns out he'd used a fake name and phone number to ghost a woman, and she sent her brother after him. The guy had tracked his license plate to the area, and my husband had apparently never told the guy he was engaged, much less married. The man spit near our feet told me, "Good luck. He's real good at vanishing when it gets real." We drove the rest of the way in silence. I couldn't stop staring at his profile, wondering what else he hadn't told me. I didn't even unpack when we got to the cabin. I turned around, called a friend, and flew home alone. The tire wasn't the only thing broken that night. Story 12. I didn't know he was allergic to shellfish. Neither did the waiter, apparently. We were at a fancy seaside restaurant in Santorini. Candlelight, violins, waves crashing in the distance. He ordered the special, took two bites, and then everything went sideways. First, his lips swelled. Then his throat started to close. I screamed for help. The restaurant scrambled to find an EpiPen. They didn't have one. A local doctor dining nearby jumped into action. It was chaos. We ended up in a Greek ER.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
With him hooked to an IV, mumbling, "At least the risotto was good." We spent our honeymoon in a hospital room with bad fluorescent lights and mystery pudding. But what truly ruined it? The resentment that festered afterward. He blamed me for not checking the ingredients. I blamed him for never mentioning he could die from shrimp. We returned home with no tan, no romance, and a full medical bill. We're still together, but that first night became a story we can't laugh about. Not yet. Story 13. She insisted we stay at a wellness retreat for our honeymoon. No Wi-Fi, no alcohol, no meat. "We'll detox together," she said. "Start the marriage off pure." I went along with it. I love her. Or at least, I thought I did. The retreat involved waking up at 5 a.m. for spiritual movement, chanting affirmations and drinking green slush that tasted like blended lawnmower clippings. I tried to smile through it. But that first night, I cracked. I snuck off the property and hiked 3 miles to find a burger stand I'd seen on the way in. I inhaled a double cheeseburger and downed a beer. I felt human again. I snuck back in, and she caught me brushing my teeth with whiskey on my breath. She looked devastated. "You broke our bond, our alignment." She cried during the night yoga session. Everyone judged me silent. We left early. When we got home, she booked solo therapy. I booked a steak dinner. We both knew we'd started something we couldn't align back into place. Story 14. We were on a cruise. First time for both of us. Everything was magical until the third couple's dinner. A woman across the table kept smiling at my husband. Too much. She introduced herself as Danny. He froze. Turns out, Danny was his ex-fiancée. The one he never told me about. The one who disappeared from his life 3 months before we met. Turns out she didn't disappear. She left after catching him cheating. He never told me he'd been engaged. Never told me why they ended. And now she was sipping wine 2 tables over, giving me pity eyes like I was next. After the dinner, he tried to spin it, said it wasn't serious. I asked, then why was she wearing your last name on her towel? He slept in the hallway that night. I cried into a pillow embroidered with Lover's Escape 2024. The ship sailed on, but I didn't, not with him. Story 15. Our first night was in an old castle-turned-hotel in Ireland. Romantic, mysterious, candlelit halls, and allegedly haunted. He was thrilled. I was nervous but intrigued. Around midnight, he dared me to do a ghost challenge with him. We walked down into the wine cellar with a flashlight and a vintage Ouija board he brought for fun. I said we should go back. He laughed, then asked out loud, "Is there anyone here who doesn't want us married?" The planchette moved. I swear to God it moved. We heard a loud bang upstairs. The flashlight flickered. I screamed. He kept laughing. Said he rigged it as a prank. Hid a speaker behind the wall. Thought it would be a hilarious memory. I didn't speak to him for 2 days. Slept alone. Every noise in that castle made me jump. The prank itself wasn't what ruined it. What ruined it was realizing he enjoyed watching me feel small, scared, helpless, and thought that was intimacy. I left before the second night. Still can't hear creaking floorboards without flinching. Story 16. We landed in Marrakech and everything was stunning. The architecture, the spices in the air, the way the light turned the walls golden. Our Riyadh had rose petals scattered on the bed, and I remember thinking, this feels like magic. Until nightfall. We were lying in bed when he casually said, "You should convert, you know." I blinked. "To what?" "To my faith," he said. "I assumed you would. My mother certainly expects it." I laughed, then realized he wasn't joking. Apparently, the honeymoon was supposed to double as a spiritual awakening for me. He'd even arranged a meeting with a religious scholar later that week. Without asking, I told him I had no intention of changing my beliefs, and he said, "So what's the point of marriage if we're not aligned?" That sentence hit me like a hammer. The warmth in the room drained. I saw our entire future. A lifetime of adjustments I never agreed to. I didn't scream. I just asked to sleep alone. He didn't try to stop me. We spent the rest of the trip in different hotel rooms. Still legally married, but everything else, gone. Story 17. The Maldives. Bucket list honeymoon. Crystal clear water, white sand, private villa. Day 1, paradise. Day 2, a storm rolled in. By day 3, we were stranded indoors for hours. No internet, just each other. Which is when I learned he hated silence. He talked nonstop. About nothing. Every passing thought came out of his mouth. "Do you think fish get bored? What if we're in a simulation? Would you rather fight a horse-sized duck or..." I tried to laugh it off, but it didn't stop. Every hour, every meal, every attempt at intimacy was interrupted by commentary or trivia. Finally, on night 3, I snapped. "Do you ever just shut up?"
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
He looked wounded. "I thought you liked my personality." "I did. In doses." That broke something. We finished the trip in awkward politeness. I realized I'd fallen in love with him in between the lines. On dates, in texts, during moments of anticipation. But trapped together with no escape, I saw the full, unfiltered version. And I wasn't in love with that. Story 18. We arrived at our honeymoon suite in Rome and were greeted by champagne and a note from his work wife. That's what he called her. His female coworker he always insisted was just a friend. The one who planned his bachelor party. The one who texted him heart eyes after the ceremony. The note said, "Hope your room is as perfect as you two are. Miss you already. A." I stared at it. He turned red and said, "She just wanted to be nice. I asked why she knew where we were staying." "She booked it as a surprise," he admitted. "A woman I'd never met chose our honeymoon suite. That night, his phone lit up with messages from her. I opened one. Tell me everything, every detail, except the boring stuff. I packed my things and booked a room 2 floors down. He tried to say I was overreacting. Maybe I was. Or maybe I realized I'd married a man who let someone else write our first chapter. Story 19. He lost his wedding ring on the first night. In the pool, he claimed. We searched, staff searched, no luck. I was upset, but forgave him. Until the second night, when I found it. In his toiletry bag. Tucked next to a folded piece of paper. The paper was a receipt. For a suite upgrade. Dated before the wedding. For one adult. I confronted him. He said, I was going to cancel it. I just needed space. On our honeymoon? He looked away. I thought I might need a backup plan. I laughed. The kind of laugh that comes from disbelief. He had upgraded to a private suite just in case he didn't feel like sharing a bed with his new wife. I didn't cry. I took the ring. I slipped it into the pool where he said it had gone missing. Maybe now the lie could become real. Story 20. He insisted we go camping for our honeymoon. Get off the grid, he said. Reconnect with nature. I was hesitant but agreed. Love, right? We drove 6 hours into the mountains. No service, no electricity, just trees and a single tent. The first day was fine. Hiking, marshmallows, stargazing. That night, I woke up to him sobbing outside the tent. I ran to him. He was holding his phone up to the sky, tears streaming. They're not answering, he whispered. Who? My ex. It all came out. He thought marrying me would help him forget her. Thought replacing a fantasy with reality would reset his heart. I stood there, in the cold, barefoot, listening to my brand new husband confess he didn't love me the way he was supposed to. I walked until I found a ranger station at dawn. No phone. Just silence. I stayed there until someone gave me a ride back to town. The forest was beautiful, but I've never gone camping again. Story 21. We chose Iceland. Waterfalls, glaciers, hot springs. It was our dream. We booked a rental car and planned to drive the Golden Circle ourselves. That first night, we stopped at a small inn just outside of Vik. At dinner, he excused himself for a quick call. He left his phone behind. It lit up with a notification. Bank alert. $14,000 transfer complete. My heart stopped. When he returned, I asked. He tried to brush it off, just something with my brother, but he wouldn't look me in the eye. After pushing, he admitted he had borrowed money from my father before the wedding. Without telling me, he said, it was for the honeymoon. I wanted it to be perfect. I stared at the candle between us and realized this wasn't a gift. This was debt. This was a lie. I didn't sleep that night. The next day, I told him I was hiking alone to clear my head. I walked to a glacial lagoon and cried into the wind. When I came back, I didn't say a word. The silence between us stretched longer than any road in Iceland. Story 22. We checked into a beach resort in Thailand. Our first night, we explored a night market. Street food, lights, music. We were laughing, drunk on the energy of it all. Then she disappeared. One second she was beside me, the next, gone. I searched, called, asked vendors. After 30 minutes, I found her, sitting at a bar with a man, a stranger. They were deep in conversation, giggling. When she saw me, she acted annoyed. You left me standing alone. I got bored. I hadn't moved. I knew I hadn't. The man looked embarrassed. Sorry, man. She said you broke up. She rolled her eyes. Don't be dramatic. That night, we didn't speak. She curled up on the far side of the bed. I realized something. I married someone who liked being chased more than being chosen. I spent the rest of the week pretending I was okay. She never apologized, and I never chased her again. Story 23. We stayed in a luxury treehouse in Costa Rica. Monkeys swinging past our balcony. Fresh fruit every morning. The scent of jungle rain. Perfect. Until I made the mistake of checking my email. My job had sent a request. Urgent. I groaned. She said, absolutely not. No phones. No laptops. We agreed. I told her I just needed 30 minutes. She started crying. Not just tears. A full-blown meltdown. You promised this would be different. You said work wouldn't follow us here. Turns out, she had planned every detail of this trip, hoping it would fix what she saw as our biggest flaw, my inability to unplug. I offered compromise. She refused. Said if I checked one email, I didn't respect her or the marriage. I locked myself in the bathroom and sent the file anyway. When I came out, she had packed her bag. If I wanted to be invisible, I could have stayed single. She left. I stayed, watched the monkeys. Answered emails. Wondered if maybe she was right. Story 24. He suggested a cabin in the Rockies. No neighbors, a fireplace, wine, and snow. It was idyllic, until we found the journal. It was hidden in the drawer of the nightstand. Leather-bound, pages filled with sketches of women, detailed descriptions, dozens of entries, all dated, all signed by the cabin's owner, the one he'd rented from a friend. I flipped through it while he showered. One entry caught my eye. November 3rd. Brought Megan here. She didn't last. Too soft. My name is Megan, and the date was yesterday. I froze. Heard the water turn off. My heart raced. Was this a prank? A sick joke? When I confronted him, he laughed. It's fiction. I wrote it. Just a creative exercise. But every woman's name in the journal, I recognized one from his Instagram. Another from his call log. I left before sunrise. Never looked back. Sometimes I wonder if those other girls ever got out. Story 25. We flew to Dubai. 5-star hotel. Rooftop pool. Everything curated for glamour. On our first night, she asked me to take photos of her. Hundreds. Every pose had to be perfect. I smiled, played along. She looked radiant. Until she frowned. You're not getting the angle. I adjusted. She frowned harder. You're doing this on purpose. I blinked. What? She accused me of sabotaging her. Of ruining the content. Then she burst into tears in front of the infinity pool, sobbing about how I didn't want her to be admired. It spiraled. She confessed she had postponed a brand deal to come on this trip, and now the photos were useless. I realized I wasn't on a honeymoon. I was part of a photo shoot, a prop in her image. That night, she posted a carousel of pictures with the caption, "Bliss with my soulmate." I wasn't in a single one. Story 26. We landed in Morocco, and everything was surreal. The colors, the call to prayer echoing through the air, the energy of the Medina. We stayed in a traditional Riyadh with lantern-lit courtyards and hand-woven rugs. I was in awe. On the first night, we joined a small group tour into the desert. Camel rides, stargazing, campfire dinner. As we lay under the stars, someone asked us how long we'd been together. My husband laughed and said, "Long enough for me to know she's not like the others." I smiled until he added, "Most girls I've dated wouldn't survive a place like this. Too high maintenance." The group chuckled. I didn't. Later, in our tent, I told him that comment hurt, that it reduced me to not like other girls in front of strangers. He rolled his eyes. It was a compliment. I told him I didn't feel complimented. He told me I was ruining the vibe. We slept back to back. I stared at the fabric ceiling of the tent, wondering how many other women he'd talked down to with a smile. The desert was quiet, but inside, I couldn't silence the question. What else will he dismiss? Story 27. It was a resort in Hawaii. Lava rock cliffs, orchids everywhere, ocean crashing below. We checked in, got our welcome drinks, and went straight to the balcony. I leaned into him, overwhelmed with love. Then his phone rang. He took it, said 1 second, and stepped back inside. I heard him say, "She's asleep. What's up?" I wasn't asleep. I also wasn't deaf. After he hung up, I asked. He said it was just work. I asked who she was. He shrugged. "Someone I used to talk to. She still has feelings." I didn't want to make things complicated. I said, "So you lied? For her?" He paused, then said the most honest thing he's ever said. "No, I lied to make things easier for me." That was the moment something snapped. We still had 6 nights booked. I stayed in the room, ordered room service, watched the waves crash, one after another, never changing, never learning. Just like him. Story 28. We flew to South Africa for a Safari Lodge honeymoon. I was nervous but excited. Neither of us had done anything this wild. First night, we sipped wine by lantern light and watched giraffes in the distance. Then he pulled out a small velvet box. I blinked. "We just got married." "You already gave me a ring?" He smiled. "This one's different." Inside was a GPS tracking bracelet. My stomach dropped. He said, "For safety. In case you wander off." I said, "Wander off?" He laughed. "You know how you get. Curious. Distracted. I just don't want to lose you." I asked if it was a joke. It wasn't. He explained how he'd always worried about me making impulsive decisions. That this was just a tool to keep us close. I walked out into the wild without a flashlight. I stared into the dark, thinking, this man doesn't want a wife. He wants a possession that pings. I didn't sleep. I didn't stay. Story 29. We were in Venice. Gondola rides. Candlelit pasta. Musicians on bridges. Pure romance. Until day 3, when I developed severe food poisoning. I was vomiting, shaking, and couldn't stand. The hotel doctor gave me medicine and strict orders. Rest, hydrate, and no leaving the room. My husband, meanwhile, he left. All day. When he came back that night, he had shopping bags and gelato. I asked, "Where were you?" He smiled. "Babe, I didn't want to waste the trip." I asked, "You didn't think to check on me?" He said, "You were asleep. What was I supposed to do, sit here all day?" I stared at him in silence. He handed me a t-shirt that said Venice Vibes. That was his idea of care. The gondolas kept gliding outside. But for me, the honeymoon ended in that hotel bathroom. Story 30. We stayed in an Airbnb in the hills outside Barcelona. Cozy, rustic, private. On the first night, we made sangria together and danced barefoot on the balcony. Then I noticed the guestbook. Handwritten notes from past visitors. Sweet little memories. Anniversaries. Birthdays. One proposal. But one entry chilled me. To whoever reads this, if he says his name is Nathan, don't trust him. He brought me here too. My husband's name is Nathan. My heart started pounding. I showed him. He turned white. "Is this you?" I asked. He said, "It's complicated." He admitted he brought an ex here 2 years ago. She wanted more. He ended it. But apparently, she didn't leave quietly. I asked, "Why bring me to the same place?" He said, "It had good memories." I stared at him, stunned. "Good for you." We argued all night. I cried in a bathtub that still had her initials carved into the tile grout. We both left different people. He left with guilt. I left with clarity. Story 31. The wedding was held at a vineyard. Golden hour. String quartet. Everything picturesque. The best man, the groom's college friend, was confident, borderline cocky. He opened with, "Weddings are a time for new beginnings. And endings. Like the end of your days as a free man." Standard joke. But then, I still remember the bachelor party. Or as I like to call it, the trial separation. People laughed nervously. He kept going. "You almost didn't make it back to the hotel that night, man. And you definitely didn't make it alone." Now everyone stopped laughing. The bride said sharply, "What does that mean?" Best man backpedaled. "Oh, I just mean we had to carry him. You know how drunk he was. You remember, right, Zach?" Zach, a groomsman, went pale. I wasn't there. The groom muttered something and left the table. The bride followed him. They never returned. The wine kept flowing, but no one felt like celebrating. Story 32. We stayed in a remote luxury cabin in Montana. Fireplace, snow, a stocked kitchen. It was meant to be a romantic isolation. No phones, no TV, just us. On the second night, I found a tiny locked drawer in the bedroom desk. It was slightly ajar, like someone had tried to force it. Curious, I opened it. Inside were photos, dozens of them, all of me. Screenshots of my Instagram, zoomed-in shots from our engagement party, even one of me walking alone outside our old apartment, all taken before we even met. I felt my stomach turn. He walked in and saw me holding them. He didn't flinch, just said, "I wasn't sure when to tell you." Turns out, he'd been following me for over a year, created fake profiles to comment on my posts, learned my routines. He called it fate, said we met naturally in a bookstore, but he'd planned it. I slept in the car that night. Windows fogged from breath, heart frozen. The next morning, I drove to town. I've never spoken to him again. Story 33. Dubai. We splurged on a suite with a view of the Burj Khalifa. First night, candlelight dinner, rooftop pool. I felt like royalty, until the man at the front desk said, "Welcome back, Mr. Patel." I blinked. "Back?" My husband looked nervous. Said they must have confused him with someone else. Later that night, the hotel manager stopped us and handed him his left-behind cufflinks from last month's stay. I asked him directly, "Were you here before? With someone?" He admitted it. He'd brought another woman here. 3 weeks before our wedding. Said it was a mistake. That it meant nothing. I stared at the luxury around. The gold. The marble. The lies. I said nothing. Packed while he was in the shower. Left the suite key on the bed with a note that just said, "You brought the wrong woman this time." Story 34. We chose New Orleans. Jazz, beignets, voodoo shops, and that eerie romanticism that city breathes. He booked us into a historic boutique hotel. Brick walls, velvet curtains, a chandelier above the bed. On night one, he pulled out a small bag. Inside were tarot cards. Said he wanted to read our future. I was into it, until he flipped a card, paused, and paled. He said, "This isn't good." The card was the Tower. He said it meant chaos, collapse, disaster. He grew withdrawn, weirdly solemn. That night, he wouldn't touch me. He kept looking over his shoulder like something was creeping in. By day three, he was talking to strangers, street psychics, palm readers, trying to undo the omen. I asked if he was okay. He said maybe we shouldn't have tempted fate. I reminded him it was just a card. He said, or maybe it's a warning. The honeymoon didn't end in flames. It just faded. He never held my hand again, never looked at me the same. Turns out, a belief in destiny can ruin things faster than any bad luck ever could. Story 35. She suggested we spend our honeymoon hiking the Camino de Santiago. Not your typical idea, but I was game. Walk across northern Spain. Reflect. Grow closer. By day four, my feet were blistered. She was thriving, laughing with other pilgrims, charging ahead, sometimes walking hours ahead of me. One afternoon, I caught up at a rest point. She was talking to a Brazilian guy named Lucas. They were mid-laugh. She barely noticed me sit. That night, at the albergue, she told me something I'll never forget. I think I needed this walk to realize something. I asked what. She said, I love the version of myself I am here, and I don't think that version wants to go home married. I slept in the bunk bed above her that night, listened to her cry. The path didn't break us. It revealed us. We finished the trail together, but not side by side. When we reached the cathedral in Santiago, I let her take the photo alone. She posted it with the caption, found myself at the end of the road. I was never mentioned. Story 36. We were in Kyoto, and he booked a traditional tea ceremony. It was peaceful, methodical, beautiful. Everything slowed down until my phone buzzed. I ignored it at first, but after the third buzz, I checked. It was a series of notifications from Venmo. Turns out, my husband had been requesting reimbursements from his groomsmen for everything. The drinks at the bachelor party, the brunch after the wedding, even the Uber to the venue. I was mortified. I asked him later, you seriously billed your friends after they stood beside you on the most important day of your life? He said, it's about principle. I'm not a bank. I told him generosity was part of friendship. He told me I didn't understand finances. The next day, he billed me for the hotel spa treatment he surprised me with. I paid and booked a return flight using my money. Story 37. She cried after sex. I thought maybe it was just nerves, or maybe it meant something deep and emotional. I held her and asked what was wrong. She said, I didn't think I'd feel this. Nothing. That was on our first night in Santorini. I tried to stay calm, present. I asked what she meant. She said she loved the idea of me, that I was kind, dependable, everything on paper, but she had been hoping the physical side would eventually match. It didn't. I said we could work on it. She said we'd already been trying, for months. I thought marriage would fix it, she whispered. We both stared at the ceiling of that perfect whitewashed villa, waves crashing outside. But inside? Silence. I didn't yell. She didn't cry again. We just unraveled, slowly. Honestly, sometimes the end doesn't scream. Sometimes it whispers on the very night everything was supposed to begin. Story 38. We went to a spa resort in the mountains. It was her idea. Detox, yoga, healing crystals. I supported it, even if I didn't believe in it. On the second night, she signed us up for a couples energy alignment session. A man named Sage Moon greeted us with robes and incense. I raised an eyebrow but played along. Halfway through, Sage asked us to release all secrets. Before I could speak, she said, I've never stopped talking to my ex. The room fell cold. I asked, what do you mean? She said, just emotionally. We check in. He understands parts of me that you don't. Sage looked at me and said, you're holding anger. Let it go. I wanted to laugh. Instead, I stood up and walked out barefoot. I slept in the car that night. Didn't even grab my shoes. Just sat there, shivering, wondering if honesty is always better, even when it slices through you like a blade. Story 39. On our second night in Prague, I got food poisoning. Not the mild kind. The kind that makes you question your survival. He brought me water and cool towels, but by morning, he was pacing. Then he said, I think I'm going to do a solo photo tour. You'll sleep anyway. I was mid-fever, curled on the bathroom tile. He left for 7 hours. When he returned, he smelled like wine and cigarettes. I asked if he'd had fun. He said, don't guilt me. I didn't expect to be your nursemaid all trip. I didn't reply. Just closed my eyes and pretended to be asleep. He posted a photo that night, best day of my life. Honeymoon vibes. I wasn't in it. Not even in the background. Story 40. He was obsessed with ancestry and heritage. Always said he wanted to find himself by retracing his roots. So we went to Ireland for our honeymoon. He planned every stop around his supposed lineage. Castles, graveyards, churches with his surname on plaques. On the fourth day, he sat me down and said, "I feel more connected to this land than I've ever felt to anything." I smiled, until he added, "Including you." I thought he misspoke. But no, he kept going. "I think I'm supposed to be here. Like, permanently." I laughed. "You mean move?" He said, "Maybe stay. Without you." He told me he didn't want a divorce. Just a trial separation on spiritual terms. I left that conversation holding a pint in one hand and our marriage certificate in the other. Turns out, he didn't want a wife. He wanted a fairy tale origin story. I was just a chapter he could close. Story 41. We booked a lakefront cabin in British Columbia. He said it would be a digital detox. I was all in. No phones, no laptops, just nature and each other. On the second night, I heard him talking outside on the deck, whispering. I peeked through the curtain. He was FaceTiming someone. I couldn't hear everything, but I caught, "I told you I needed space. I'm not gone. I'm just married now." He never saw me watching. The next morning, I asked what he thought about extending the trip. He said, "Let's not push it. It's already been intense." I asked who he called. He said, "No one." So I asked again, slower. He stared at me for a long time and finally said, "You were the right choice. But that doesn't mean I've adjusted yet." We still had 4 days left. I spent them journaling, hiking alone, and rereading my vows. He never touched me again on that trip. Story 42. She joked before the wedding that I never cried. Not during the proposal, not during planning. I told her I just wasn't the emotional type. But the night of our honeymoon in Amalfi, I cried for the first time in years. Because she confessed that she'd been pregnant once before. And never told. "I didn't want to ruin the vibe," she said. "But I needed you to know eventually." I asked if it was mine. She laughed. "God, no. It was before you. But it changed me. And I didn't want to get married carrying that secret." I sat on the hotel bed, stunned. Not because of what she told me, but because she only shared it after the wedding. Like crossing that threshold gave her permission. The next day, she acted like nothing happened. I couldn't. I didn't cry again. Just floated through the rest of the trip like a tourist in my own marriage. Story 43. We were on a cruise. Middle of the Caribbean. Everything was perfect until a stranger stopped us in the casino. He shook my hand, smiled at my wife, and said, "Back for round two?" She went pale. He said, "You don't remember me? We met here last summer. You were with that British guy. The actor." She mumbled something and dragged me away. That night, I asked who he was. She admitted she had been on this exact cruise a year before. With someone else. Someone she was dating right before me. She called it just a fling. I said, "So you planned our honeymoon at the same place you had a vacation hookup?" She shrugged. I liked the boat. The entire trip, I kept wondering if every lounge, every chair, every drink came with someone else's memory. We disembarked smiling for photos, but I never saw that ship the same way again. Story 44. We arrived in Lisbon and decided to explore the city by scooter. Cute, spontaneous, romantic, until we crashed. Nothing serious, just a skid on wet cobblestones. Scrapes, bruises, a sprained wrist for me. We went to the hospital. He held my hand, made jokes. But back at the hotel, things shifted. He grew distant, irritable. On our third night, he snapped, "This wasn't how I imagined our honeymoon." I said, "You mean with me hurt?" He said, "Yeah. I thought we'd be more physical." I asked if he was seriously blaming me for being injured. He didn't answer. We spent the rest of the trip in lukewarm silence. I healed, but something else fractured. He couldn't even pretend to care past inconvenience. Turns out, love and health is easy. In sickness, you see who they really are. Story 45. We stayed at a remote eco lodge in the Amazon. No electricity after dark. Frogs croaking all night. Everything surreal and primal. But on the second night, she started shaking. Not cold. Afraid. I asked what was wrong. She whispered, "The jungle knows I lied." I laughed nervously. She didn't. She began confessing things. That she hadn't quit her old job. That she still messaged her ex when she felt unseen. That she'd lied to her therapist. And me. About why she wanted to get married quickly. "I thought marriage would fix me," she whispered. I held her. Not because I knew how to respond, but because I was terrified. She stayed curled in the corner that night, rocking. I stayed awake, listening to the distant cries of animals, wondering if I'd just married someone unraveling, or someone finally showing me the truth. We flew back early, she apologized. I haven't stopped questioning if she meant any of the vows. Story 46. We were in Dubrovnik, Croatia. Narrow stone alleys, sea breeze, medieval towers, the perfect fairy tale setting. After dinner, we wandered the old city walls at sunset. It felt unreal. We kissed under the last pink streaks of sky. That was the last kiss we shared on the trip. Back at the Airbnb, I saw a leather-bound notebook sticking out of his carry-on. I thought it was his travel journal. I opened it. It was a list. Names, ratings, dates. Each page had a woman's name, location, and comments like, too needy, amazing in bed, or didn't kiss well. I flipped forward. My name was there. Clingy. Sweet, though. Probably wife material. TBD. I just sat there holding it. When he came in, he went pale. He didn't deny it. He said he used to be that guy, but swore he stopped after meeting me. I asked, then why keep the book? He said, I wanted to remember what I came from. I left. I walked all night through the quiet alleys, feeling like one more entry waiting to be scored. Story 47. We picked Iceland for its raw beauty. On our third night, we stayed near a glacier lagoon. I woke up to find him missing from bed. At first, I thought maybe he went for sunrise photos. He didn't. I found him in the living crying, holding a photo. It was a woman I didn't recognize. He looked up and said, I need to tell you something I should have told you a long time ago. He told me he was married before, that she died, that he didn't think I could handle it, so he kept it buried. But being in a place so quiet, so still, made it surface. I didn't yell. I didn't even cry. I just sat next to him in silence. Then he said the part that broke me. I think I married you because I couldn't stand being alone anymore. I realized in that moment I wasn't a new beginning. I was a shield from grief. We drove the ring road in silence. The scenery was breathtaking. So was the emptiness between us. Story 48. We took a cooking class in Tuscany. Pasta from scratch, wine flowing, laughter bouncing off the kitchen walls. I was having the time of my life. That night, we got back to the villa. I wanted to talk about the future. Kids, careers, moving. Normal things. He looked irritated. Said he was tired. I pushed. I asked if he still wanted the same things we used to talk about. And he said, honestly, number, I don't want to be a dad. I just said that to get through the engagement. I laughed. Thought he was joking. He wasn't. He added, I didn't think it'd matter. You'd change your mind eventually. I said, so your whole plan was to wait me out? He shrugged. That was the night I realized I married a man who treated my dreams like soft clay, something to reshape until they looked like his. I slept on the terrace that night, wrapped in a throw blanket, listening to crickets and wondering what else he was hoping I'd get over. Story 49. We were in Tokyo, eating ramen in a tiny shop with six stools and a single grumpy chef. Everything felt cinematic. The lights, the chatter, the sense of wonder. We headed back to the hotel and I noticed he was quiet. Not relaxed quiet. Nervous quiet. Back in the room, I asked what was wrong. He said, you're going to hate me. Then he pulled out a folder. Inside was a prenup, already signed. By him, with my forged signature. He said he'd had a friend copy it from texts and old documents. He swore it wasn't meant to hurt me, just to protect some family assets. I was frozen. He said, you wouldn't have signed it if I'd asked. You don't believe in prenups. I stared at him for a full minute before saying, you're right. And now I don't believe in you either. I grabbed my passport and booked a capsule hotel across town. It was cramped and cold, but I slept better than I ever had beside him. Story 50. We went scuba diving in the Maldives. She'd gotten certified just for the trip. I was thrilled, finally doing something adventurous together. On the second dive, about 20 minutes in, she motioned that she was low on air. We surfaced early, climbed back into the boat, and she wouldn't look at me. Later that night, after a lot of silence, I asked what was going on. She confessed she'd faked her scuba certification. She hadn't taken any classes. Hadn't even read the manual. I thought it couldn't be that hard, she said. I didn't want you to think I was boring. I was stunned, furious, scared. You could have died, I whispered. She said, but I didn't. So why does it matter? That was the moment I realized I was married to someone who didn't just lie. She endangered herself to be liked. The ocean felt a lot deeper that night. Story 51. We picked Kenya for a honeymoon unlike any other. Safari drives, vibrant cities, beach sunsets. Everything felt alive. On the fifth night, after returning from a game reserve, we were invited to a group bonfire with other newlyweds at the lodge. It started off fun, stories, drinks, laughter, but eventually, a game of truth or dare started. Harmless at first. Then someone dared my husband to reveal his deepest romantic regret. He hesitated, smiled awkwardly, then said, "Not proposing to my college girlfriend when I had the chance." The fire crackled. Everyone went quiet. I laughed, thinking he was joking. He wasn't. He looked at me, eyes wide, as if suddenly realizing what he'd just said. I excused myself and walked back to our suite. He followed 15 minutes later and said, "It was just a game." I said, "It was your truth." We finished the trip as tourists, not lovers. The giraffes still came close to the Jeep, but I felt further from him than I ever had. Story 52. We rented a small sailboat for part of our honeymoon off the coast of Greece. He said he wanted to disconnect from the world and connect with each other. I found that sweet, until day two. That's when he brought out the GoPro. He began filming everything. Every breakfast, every swim, every private moment became content. I asked him to stop. He said, "We need to document this. Think of the memories." But when I caught him editing footage of me crying after a seasickness episode, with music overlay and a title card, I lost it. "You're making a highlight reel of my misery," I snapped. He shrugged. "That's real life." I realized then, he didn't want a honeymoon. He wanted cinema, a narrative, a curated experience where even my pain could be repackaged as authentic. We docked early. He kept the footage. I left with none. Story 53. He surprised me with a honeymoon cruise to Alaska. Whales, glaciers, northern lights, the works. But on our second night while unpacking, I found a small jewelry box buried in his suitcase. It wasn't mine. I opened it. Inside was a delicate gold necklace with a charm that spelled a different name, Tessa. "I'm not Tessa." When I confronted him, he turned pale and said, "It was supposed to be a gift, but not for you." He'd accidentally packed the wrong box. Turns out he'd been seeing someone else. Not cheating, technically. Just a connection that overlapped. And he bought her jewelry? For our honeymoon? He said it was a loose end he meant to tie up. Said he wanted to marry me because I was stable, kind, long-term material. I gave him the necklace. Told him to throw it into the freezing sea. But deep down, I knew. I was the fallback plan who won. And somehow that felt worse. Story 54. We stayed at a luxury treehouse resort in Thailand. Monsoon season had just ended. Everything smelled green and alive. One night, I heard him muttering in his sleep. I leaned over and heard a name. Not mine. I listened again. He whispered, "Don't tell her. Please. Just one more time." I didn't wake him. Just lay there frozen. In the morning, I asked who Elise was. He went silent. Then admitted he had cheated. Just once. A month before the wedding. A bachelor party gone wrong. He said he regretted it. Thought confessing now would destroy us. "But now I know you know," he said. "So maybe we can heal together?" Heal? I was still trying to breathe. We had 6 nights left in the canopy suite. I spent them in silence. Not out of punishment, but protection. I didn't cry. Didn't scream. I just watched the monkeys in the trees and realized even wild animals knew better than to betray their mate. Story 55. We chose to do a cross-country road trip for our honeymoon. Just the two of us. A rented camper van, open roads, and spontaneity. By the second week, we were deep into Utah, surrounded by red rocks and stars. One night, while parked near a desert cliff, he admitted something. He said he didn't believe in marriage. "I did this for you," he said. I hoped that by committing, my feelings would catch up. I stared at him. "What feelings?" He said he liked me, loved spending time with me, but he wasn't in love. He asked if that was enough to build a life on. I said no, but we still had to sleep in the same van that night. The mattress suddenly felt too small, the desert too wide, the stars too cold. In the morning, we made coffee in silence. Drove until we hit the next gas station. I caught a flight home. I don't hate him. I just wish he hadn't waited until after I do to realize he didn't.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.